Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, welcome to the Mum and Mama podcast. This is episode 5 of season 3. Hi, how are you? Thank you to my sponsors, the lovely Golding Accountancy and Proudess. Proudess will change your life. If you don't know what it is, then, well, you can click on the link in the podcast artwork or on your phone in this podcast episode. How are you? I'm a bit knackered, but I'm very excited for you to hear this chat with the lovely Maria. I love a bit of manifesting, and obviously as a woman who started a business, I was very interested to hear what she'd had to say, as she is a coach who coaches women in business. But we spoke a lot about business and mindset and mental health, and I hope you enjoy it, and I'll see you in a bit.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Work. Work.
So, hi. Oh, I like your toenail colour.
Oh, thank you.
My nails
were the same, but I pick them off. I have a habit, oh, I do my nails, I pick them, and I'll do shellac, because I used to go to the beautician's, I used to sit there for hours, and I used to get bored, so then I just qualified as a shellac technician and did my nails.
Oh, really?
And I find it's relaxing for me, it's like my creative time when I just sit and just paint my nails and just chill.
What's the idea? You can do it yourself, can't you?
Yeah, you just buy all the stuff,
yeah,
and then once you've invested in the stuff, I'll do them maybe every week and a half.
Yeah.
Because I pick them off and then I start again. You're not supposed to pick them off.
No, because it's quite bad for you. See, it makes me not pick my nails. You know, they're not bad at all, are they?
No. My hands are old lady hands. They're all, like, bent up, but...
So, Maria. Ah,
Hi.
Hello.
I know you because you do yoga at my gym.
Yes, I do.
But then I since found out that you do much more exciting stuff. How did you get into yoga? Have you always done yoga?
So I was working in school. So I've been a teacher for 10 years. And then the school actually paid for me to qualify in it because they wanted a yoga instructor in the school to do it for the kids. And so I did it through the school 4 years ago now.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so it's really good. And like then I've just done it ever since. Qualification. Yeah, it was, you had to study for it. There's actually loads of studying in because it's all about the body. So you had to pass, I think it was 2 or 3 tests about anatomy. And then you had to do your practical assessment. And yeah, it was good.
That's amazing they paid for it.
Yeah.
What were you teaching?
History.
Were you in a senior school?
Yes, yeah, so I was in a senior school. We were teaching history, and at that point, I was managing a department, and they just sent an email around and said, is anyone up for it? And I was like, do you know what? It came at the most perfect time of my life. And I was like, yeah, actually, I'd love this.
That's amazing.
Do you not think, right, this leads us on to the manifesting part, but things happen when you least expect it. And I, at that point in my life, was like, I really want some more inner peace. And then we got an email about yoga, and I was like, I'll do that.
Yeah.
Because I like to learn new things as well. And yeah, I've been doing it ever since, and I really enjoy it. And I'm always updating it and doing my own yoga, and yeah, I love it.
How did you become a history teacher?
I did history at university, like ancient history and archaeology. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I think that's the thing. When kids leave school, how do you know what you want to be? Like, you just don't know. So then I went straight into uni, did archaeology and ancient history, and it was good. I enjoyed it.
Did you get to go on digs and stuff?
Yeah, I didn't enjoy that.
Oh, really?
I didn't like the... Yeah, it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. You know when you see it on TV, it's exciting.
Yeah.
It's not exciting.
Oh, really?
You just get wet. It's actually quite hard manual labour when you're digging it out.
Yeah.
So I remember we went on a dig, and my lecturer was lovely at the time. In the end, I just did teas and coffees because I was like, this is not for me. I was not born to be an archaeologist.
Yeah.
And so I just...
I guess it's quite slow, isn't it? Because you've got to be really gentle,
Yeah, and that's when you find something. But when you're like kind of going in and digging the trenches we were doing, it's like quite manual, intense labour. It wasn't for me, but I discovered what I didn't want to do.
Yeah.
And so that was good. And then from there, I left uni and I was like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I just didn't know what to do with my life. And both my parents are teachers.
Okay.
So I thought, let me just be a teacher.
Yeah.
But it shows you how you repeat the cycles of your family, doesn't it? Because you were a product of your environment.
Yeah.
And I went into teaching and I stayed there for 10 years until last year when I was like, I'm actually a little bit bored. And I really like my job. I really like the school I work at. I really like the people I work with. But I could do my job with my eyes closed. And I was like, this isn't challenging anymore. This isn't exciting.
Yeah.
I didn't feel stressed. I just felt a bit like, is this it? Like, is this all life has to offer? And I'd be doing the same job until retirement when I'm 67 on the same money for, what, another 34 years?
Yeah.
And I thought, there's got to be more to life. There has to be more to life. So then I decided to set up a business. I gave up my head of department job last year, and I've just kind of gone into the business. So I do still work a couple of days in the school, and I actually really enjoy it now. I enjoy it because I go in and I can have a laugh and I enjoy what I'm doing more, and then I leave and then I come into my business.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's a, at the minute it's a beautiful balance of both, but I think one day I'd like to go full-time into the, like full on into the business. But it's a growth, and I think this is what I don't think people always talk about, is the growth of the business and how for some people they can make the money they want in like 6 months. For other people it's just like developing it, putting yourself out there, and it's a journey, right?
Yes. It's a journey. I think if people knew, because I've started a business with my friend and we did not have a clue. And I don't think I would have, because she's basically created this product and asked me to get involved with it. And had I known what it was like, I don't know if I would have been so quick to say yes. Because it is just a lot of work for, and you can't, everything's blind, isn't it? Like,
You do hats, don't you?
It's a hair care brand, yeah. So it's headpieces like, and
the hats are good, though. The hats are really good.
They're wicked and they've sold really well, but it's like, it always amazes me how many people there are in the world. And if we just had like such a small percentage of those people buy our stuff, we'd be fucking laughing, you know. But it's like, how do you reach the people? And there's just so much, isn't there? So much involved that you just don't know until you get there. And you're like, okay, well, how do I deal with this then? And it's a massive learning curve.
100%. They say that like business is the biggest personal development journey you will ever go on. And it is so true. I think it brings up everything. And I found with like my business journey, the first part of the business journey was just getting the mindset right. Because I don't think strategy necessarily is hard. You can learn strategy of what to do and how to get visible. But believing that you can do it and becoming the person that does it, that's the hard part. That's the part that takes longer. And that's all the mindset piece. And when I first went into it, I was like, yeah, brilliant, right. And then I had to shop online. And I had never had, so I deleted Instagram before I started my business for a couple of years. And I really enjoyed not having it.
Yeah.
I didn't use it. I wasn't interested in it. And I just lived my little life in my little bubble. And it was fine. And then I was like, hold on, I've got a business. Like, what's the easiest way to get across to people with social media? So I set up an Instagram. And I was scared. I was so scared to post on it until like I didn't really know what to say. And I didn't know how to market. And I didn't know how to message. And so I invested in like various different coaches and mentors to like help me with how to market and to message and like training to be a coach and a therapist and stuff. And I'm now at a stage where you just got to speak your truth. You just got to say what you want to say. And when you're like advertising something, especially coaching or like a service provider, people don't care about the steps that's going to get them there. They want to know what they're going to get at the end. They want the transformation. So say, for example, with the hats, they don't care about how the hat's made. They don't even care it's a hat. But if it makes their hair feel good, if it makes them feel good, they'll buy it on the end transformation. And then when you realise that people just want the transformation and you sell them and market the transformation, they're more likely to buy it. But I had no background in marketing. I was so naive to everything. I was like a sucker. When people were saying, you need this and this and this, I was like, I need all of it. And I was spending money everywhere. And have you ever had shiny object syndrome?
Wow, what's that?
It's like when you get so, you just want all the courses and you want all the stuff. Oh, and then you like, you buy it all. And I was like, I need to learn this and I need to learn this and I want to learn this. And I want to learn this.
Yeah.
And I made all the mistakes that you can make as you go and start a business. Everything that people are like, don't do this and this. I did it all. But I think it's made me better as a coach.
Yeah.
Because now I know what people go through and I know how it feels to go through all the things because I felt it all. Yeah.
So that's why it happened. So what is your business?
So I've got a coaching business and I'm a manifestation and mindset coach.
Yeah.
And then unconscious mind therapist.
So what is that?
So I will work with clients. I normally actually work with female entrepreneurs, but I have worked with people that are like in the corporate world and stuff as well. And what I do is, let me give you an example, it's probably easier to explain. So with one client, we worked on their money mindset, because money is simply energy. But a lot of people, when you start listening to people talk about money, they will say, oh, I don't have enough. Everything's expensive. And when you start to notice how people are talking about it, it's very negative.
Yeah.
It's a lack mindset. And when you're constantly chasing your tail and you're like, I don't have enough, I don't have enough, you're never going to have enough.
Yeah.
But that's hard to say when you actually feel like you don't have enough and you want more coming in. But money is simply energy. And the more you can feel abundant, the more new opportunities open up and money starts flowing to you. And abundance isn't an amount in your bank account. It's a feeling inside of you.
Yeah.
So it's, you can feel, and that's where gratitude comes in. Like, can you be grateful for what you have right now? Because our needs as humans are, we need food, we need water, and we need shelter.
Yeah.
And then everything else on top is the kind of bonus. And so when people were speaking, like, so I was working with one client, we were working on money mindset, and they ended up doubling their salary in corporate. So I think there was around 60 grand and they doubled it into the six figures. And that was from shifting their money mindset. Obviously they were taking action and they were applying for the promotions that they wanted. But a core part of that was they had to become the person to believe that they could have the promotion, that they were good enough for the promotion, and also working on the money mindset piece. So there's so much here. I've kind of just jumped straight into it. So I take my clients from a place where they're like confused, or I work with, been working with female entrepreneurs recently a lot more on content. And so when you're posting your content, you don't always show up as yourself all the time, and you're not speaking your truth, or you're holding back from your opinions. But your ideal clients, especially in the service industries, they want to know who you are. Yeah. So they want your stories. Like children, right? We read them storybooks.
Yeah.
And they love a story. But yet, we're sometimes too scared to share our stories online. And so I worked with one client who, she's a six-figure business coach. She's doing really, really well for herself. But there was something holding her back. And it was nothing in her business. It was like a moment in childhood where somebody had left her, and it was causing problems with her, not even problems, but it was, she wasn't like fully sharing her story or showing up online or being as opinionated because she was scared that people would leave her.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with her business. It's to do with something that's happened in childhood and their conditioning. Yeah. And so that's where I come in with various different modalities and help to like release the trauma cycles and the anxiety and the stress, so that you can move forward, that you show up online, that you speak your truth, that ultimately you make more money in your business.
Yeah.
Through connecting with your audience.
Yeah.
But that's kind of like where my niche is now. When I started, it wasn't. And I've kind of just adapted and worked with different people.
So how did you come to it?
As in like manifesting?
Yeah.
So I struggled with my mental health when I was 27. And I think that played a massive part in wanting to work with mental health a little bit more. I didn't want to go back to university. I didn't want to, I didn't really want to do like another 3-year course to become a psychologist as such, because I was interested in that. And I thought, oh, maybe I'll do that. And then I saw coaching and I was like, hold on, there's trauma-informed coaches and you can start learning, you can start qualifying in this without needing like the 3 years.
Yeah.
And that's not to take away, like I think psychology is fantastic, it's really super interesting. But I already had like 10 years experience in teaching, and like naturally you work with anxiety because there's a lot of kids that are anxious and stressed. And so I kind of thought, after struggling with my own mental health, I was like, what if I could do something with mental health? And then I was driving my way to work once, and I've just been in a bad, you know, I don't know, if you ever get in spirals where you just seem to spiral down?
Yeah.
So I was in one of my spirals one week, and I wasn't happy at work. Not because I wasn't happy with the people, but I was like, there's something missing, there's got to be more. I went to drive into the, like, the car park gates at work, and this car reversed into my car and hit me. And I thought, when you, it's the law of attraction, when you give out, like, these, this negative energy, your day spirals and it just gets worse. And I was just, I had to laugh because I thought, it's ironic that someone's just hit my car. And then I got really anxious from it for like the next 2 weeks trying to get the car fixed and sorted. And I was like, hold on, if I'm feeling this, I cannot be the only one that feels these like spells of anxiety and feels stressed. And it was just kind of a wake up moment where I was like, this is what I want to do. I want to do something with mental health, and I want to do something with mindset, and I'd learnt to manifest, and I've been manifesting consciously, I guess, for 6-7 years.
Yeah.
I was like, and you just, you know when you just, things just come to you?
Yeah.
And I was like, this is what I want to do. And I had no clue how I was going to do it. I didn't know anything about business, marketing. And I just went home and I said to my husband, I was like, I want to do this. And he's really supportive. And he was like, yeah, 100%. And then I decided to qualify as a coach, and then I've added various different modalities from there. And the rest is history, really. So I retired my head of department job last year, set up my business and registered in November last year. Do you know what? Even that, even registering for a business and doing the self-employed tax thing, I was like, what on earth am I doing? It took me ages.
Yeah.
And then since then, I've just been going online, growing it, feeling more confident, learning. And I'm enjoying it. I think at first I was fighting everything and I was like, this is so hard. And now I've just got the motto that it gets to be easy.
Yeah.
And I get to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Like, how have you found your business? What would you say has been the best part and the hardest part?
The best part is people's reactions to the products. Like, we had a message the other day from someone who bought one of our hats and were like, I keep getting people compliment me on my hair because it's just so much better. And that's just from one of the hats, let alone the headpieces that we have. Like, my daughter come upstairs this morning and she was like, look at my hair, Mum. I slept in my Prades last night. And it just, it does transforms people's hair. And the reaction from people is lovely because it's like we're making people's lives better.
Yeah.
You know, so, because it's a nice thing to do, and it's nice to know that you're having a nice effect. Like, people are waking up in the morning and it's improving their morning because they haven't got to deal with their hair, or they feel good about themselves or whatever. So that is the best thing. The worst thing is not... It's hard because I'm aware of manifesting, and I'm aware of how you speak to yourself and the stories that we tell ourselves impact how we are, you know, and like, I don't want to be like, we don't know what we're doing, but we don't know what we're doing with regards to the business and the, and I feel like I want us just to sit down with Mr. Business or Mrs. Business, and they just say, these are the things that you need to do, and this is going to be the outcome, and this is how long it's going to take, and, you know, just to say, but obviously that doesn't exist because no one's, people have done what we're doing, you know, it's not a completely new business idea, but the product we've got is different. But we're both single parents, we both work, we don't have an investor, we need to find an investor. There's just all these little things that we need to do, you know, to help to make it happen. But the good thing is it's growing with us. The amount of orders that we've had have been, we can deal with it because it's not like we've had 10,000 orders and we need to then stop working to fulfil them, which would be amazing, obviously, because then...
That would be incredible. Yeah,
it would be amazing. And it will happen. And it will happen, but I suppose... We're getting used to what we're doing and finding the best ways of doing things. So it's good that it's kind of growing the way it's growing because we can manage it. But we need to take that next step now, you know.
What's the dream with it?
The dream is that that's our job. We can stop doing everything else and do that and then sell it and just get money and both stop working. I want to do charity work. I want to set up a foundation for single parents to help just have kind of some kind of service. So if they get up and they really can't deal with the day, just so someone can take their kids to school for them, or because it's the little things like that. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you're unwell, but you can't just stay in bed because no one else can take your kids to school, or just little, that's what I'd really like to do is set up some kind of charity and help people that need it.
I love that.
You know, rather than, I don't mind work. I work, and I want to be more involved with the company. But if we did get to a place, and then someone was like, "We'll buy you out for however much," and then that sets me and my family up, and then I can just do nice things.
Yeah, no, 100%. And once you've done it once, you can do it again and again and again. And with companies, and I feel like, especially online, just because I'm in the online space, I talk about the online space a lot. Everyone's marketing will tell you you're doing something wrong, or you need to do this, or you need to do that. And that's just pain point marketing. And it's very easy to get consumed in it. And then you think, oh, I need this for my business, and this for my business, and this for my business. But really, I think, and I know this is unpopular, I think if you just listen to your intuition, you know what to do, you know the moves to make, and it will guide you to the people you need to support you. Because I do believe in investment and investing in the support that you need. And again, like, if you can at that stage, because I found in the online space, people will be like, in fact, let me tell you this story. When I signed up for this coaching program, the first one I signed up for is an American coach, and I won't name them. They literally said to me, I was coming from this really desperate energy, like, I really want clients. This was December 2022. And I was like, I really want clients. Like, I don't know what to do. And I was scared to show up online. And I knew that what I had, the product and the service I had, was good. And so I was doing this coaching space. You know what they did when they did their sales pitch? me now would be like, no, thank you, hang up, like the Zoom call. They said to me, will you remortgage your house? They literally said to me, can we talk about remortgaging your house so you can afford this?
What?
Yeah.
And what, afford to pay?
To pay like the fees of like the coaching program.
Oh, and my God.
I actually did. Do you know what? Me now, because I was so naive to this, I just thought maybe that's normal. Then maybe that's what marketers and sales do, because I've never been in that world before. I was like, oh, okay, maybe that's normal. And maybe it's what everyone does. And so I invested in the program. And despite that, never invest. If somebody asks you to remortgage your house, no, just do not invest. Like, most people would know this. But me going in, like, still being a bit of a people pleaser, trying to like get the support I needed, and they tell you exactly what you want to hear, which is it's very bro, like the very like the bromance, I would call, like, and bromance is the wrong word, like the bro, the masculine, like very energy strategy of selling. I don't like it. And anyway, I went into this program, and 3 months later, I just felt completely burnt out. I was just sat on the floor crying. They were like, if you're not getting results, you're not working hard enough. So I would go to bed at midnight. I would get up at 4 o'clock. And all the strategy was sit on Instagram and DM people and search for people that look like they need your help and then put out content. And I was like, is this normal? So I did it for the 3 months. I did part of the program. And at the end, I was like, I felt worse than I did when I started. And I think you have to be really, this is where the intuition piece comes in. I think you've just got to trust your intuition. I think I knew that it was the wrong thing to do.
Yeah.
But when you're coming from that energy where you're desperate and you will like try anything, I just went for it. And I don't regret it because I learned what not to do in business and how not to treat people. And I think everything's a mirror. So the way you are like and the energy you're using is mirrored back to you.
Yeah.
And so I learned a massive lesson. And I've made other mistakes in business. And one of the things I don't like, people say a lot in business, is you have to be a really quick action taker, sign up straight away. It's a marketing tactic.
Yeah.
My rule is 24 hours now. I will think about it for 24 hours, and if I'm not sure, it's a no, and if I'm sure, it's a yes, and if I miss out, it was never meant to be.
Yeah.
But I think it's, again, people like, take decisions quickly and take action, and I'm like, well, actually, I would prefer for somebody to really want to work with me and it feels good for them. Yeah. It might feel really scary still, but I don't want them to work with me because they feel like I'm going to be able to give them all the answers and fix them, because as a coach and a service provider, you can't do that. And so it's kind of, I think it's listening to your intuition. Like when you're building your business, you know what to do.
Yeah.
And sometimes it might be the time if you're working full time and it's managing it. But I also think that's a really good thing as well. And I don't think enough credit is given to that, that you can go straight cold turkey into a business. But if you've got a family to provide for and if you've got a mortgage to pay, actually, it makes more sense to work and to do the business on the side. And yes, that means you're working longer. But as the business grows, you can cut down your hours or you can get a new job that allows you to do it.
Yeah.
And then it will grow with you. And that way as well, you're not stressing about money, because the moment you start stressing about money in your business, it's just not going to work, because you're coming from the mindset of lack. When you come from the mindset of lack, you're going to get more lack coming back. And then you come from desperate energy. And when you're trying to get clients from desperate energy, you're not getting them, because they're going to be like, you don't care about me. You just want my money.
Yeah.
It's like the other day, this lady messaged me on Instagram. And she's like, hey, how are you? Blah, blah, blah. I was like, yeah, I'm good. Little chat. And she's like, we've got a salon. Do you want my products? And I'm like, you don't really care how I am. You just want to sell to me.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to buy from you. And I feel like that's where I'm really getting into like attraction marketing, like attracting people to you, taking the action, trusting that you're doing the right thing, getting the support that you need, believing that you can do it. You've got to trust. You've got to trust that it's happening for you.
Yeah.
And you've got to trust that you've got the results before you've got the results, which is why most people can't or won't go into business, because if it was really that quick to make money, everyone would be doing it.
Yeah.
And some people do make quick money, and I think that's fantastic, but can they sustain it over a long period of time? And that's when you've got to look at why you're actually getting into business. Is it sustainable, or is it that you just want quick money?
Yeah.
I find business really interesting now.
It is, yeah, it is interesting, yeah, because it's like, the overnight success thing with artists or whatever, and it's like overnight successes take 10 years. You know, there's no such thing as overnight success. Everyone's always been doing it for a long time. And we were very naive. Like when Nicole invented like the headpiece and then she gave me one to wear, and I was like, oh my God, my hair, like I'm growing my hair. I've not been able to grow my hair. My hair's bleached and fucked. Do you know what I mean? But it's not anymore because of it. And seeing how good it was. And then we got them manufactured and we were like, everyone's going to buy it and see how wonderful it is, and we're going to be millionaires next year, you know. And then it's like 2 years later, and we're like, oh yeah, no, it doesn't. We know that the product's really good, but it's not going to. We have to reach people, and we have to. And there's a whole world of getting into those doors that we're not naturally like. We none of us have parents that are in that world, or you know.
Yeah, it's getting visible with the product, and there's a couple of things that you can do for it. So, like, one thing, especially with a product, you could send it to an either an influencer or a celebrity, like wear it, and then you're gonna get influence from that. People will be like, "Oh, they're wearing that. I really like that."
Yeah,
and then people will come to you and they'll buy it from you. And if you can, it works differently. Some people take the product and then they wear it and they like it and they advertise it. Other people do it for money. And so, again, that comes back to your budget. Or it's getting people with, like, mid-followers online. So, like, in the tens of thousands and people that you know that maybe, like, maybe they're at the gym or something. And then you give them a product or they buy the product from you and then they start advertising it. And then it's kind of the word of mouth as it goes out. But then you've got things like you can use ads. But ads you need to pump in. And ads, I played a little bit around with ads. I don't use them. I'm trying to work on it organically. But if you had, like, if you focused on, like, the Reels and Instagram, Reels can go viral very quickly.
Yeah.
But there's a lot to make a Reel go viral. And I've done work on Reels and, like, the strategy piece of Reels. It's really simple. It's just, like, have a moving image. And people like simple things. So say you're making a cup of coffee. Record yourself making a cup of coffee. That's your what they call B-roll footage. You'd use that, you'd put a really good, like, hook on it, whatever your hook is, and then you put the text you want to put, and then you put read the caption. You start your caption with, like, a hook of, like, what your how you want to, like, grab people in.
Yeah.
Tell a little story, give them a call to action, and the call to action, because not everyone reads the whole caption, it should be at the top and the bottom. And then if it's like, comment me the word, I don't know, comment me the word unleash or hat or something, and then you send them a link to buy it. And then you can automate it using an app called ManyChat. And then ManyChat just does it for you. And I think it's either free or low ticket. And so then it will automate the responses it sends to people. It automatically sends them a link. They click on the link, they buy it. And then you do the behind the scenes thing. So there's a lot online when you start getting used to it, and you can start getting more traction.
Yeah.
For something like a product, I would say more Reels. For something like a service, people like the carousels as well, where you're actually educating them.
Yeah.
So I use a mix of, like, Reels and carousels. And then you'll find, like, it dips and it goes up. But so many people say, oh, it's the algorithm. It's the algorithm's fault. I've got an unpopular opinion here. Like, the algorithm changes. But if you, rather than getting so caught up in the algorithm, because then you're putting the energy, oh, the algorithm doesn't work for me, blah, blah, blah. If you could go, like, I know that this is going to reach the right person. I'm going to use, like, a strategy that I know works. And then just put it out there and just say, like, I know this will reach the people that it needs to reach. Yeah. And just believe that it will. And it's the belief piece. It's knowing that, are you religious?
No. I'm spiritual.
Spiritual. So it's knowing the universe has, it's going to take it. The universe got your back. Like, trust that it's going to get to the people it needs to get to. So I've since setting up my business, I started praying again. And I was always brought up in, like, Roman Catholic faith.
Yeah.
I don't believe you have to be in a building to be religious and pray.
Yeah.
But I do pray in the morning and the evenings now. And I definitely believe in the universe. And I'm not really sure what I believe, but I pray before I put my Reels out, which sounds crazy, right? But I'm just like, this is going to touch whoever it needs to touch. I believe that it's going to impact them. And I just trust and let it go.
Yeah.
And then get on with my day. And trying to chat to people and do different things online, and it's trying to build a community of people that they love to be around you, and like that you can all work together on it type thing. And I think when you start to find that community, that's kind of my goal at the minute of my business, is to build my community out, and I want to start a membership, which I'm excited about.
Yeah.
And help people to manifest, help people to manifest the business, the love, the belief, you know, all the, all the things that people want.
So how did you, when you kind of thought that you wanted to help people with manifesting, how did you come up with the idea of how you do that? Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, I just, something appeared that said coaching, and I'd never heard of coaching because it's quite new in the UK. It's massive in America. And I was like, okay, let me get qualified. So I qualified with the Coaching Academy and did one of their programs. And then I did a small business diploma, like learning about small business, because I thought, oh, if I can learn a little bit about it, I'll have more of an understanding. But it's very strategical. It's all like the SWOT analysis and this and that. And it's great. I'm not really into the strategy piece. I find the strategy piece a bit boring.
Yeah.
And then after that, I did an unconscious mind therapy course.
What's that?
So unconscious mind therapy is like using timeline therapy, hypnosis, different modalities to get into your subconscious mind.
Okay.
So your subconscious mind is your, imagine a computer, it's the hard wiring underneath, like your automatic programming.
Yeah.
And then your unconscious mind is your body. And so there is a slight difference between the two, but some people use them interchangeably. So, for example, say you want to change a belief and you've got a belief that people are going to judge you when you show up online.
Yeah.
Your conscious mind only governs 5% of what you do. So every time you go to put content out, you're like, consciously, I know I need to put content out. Then suddenly you feel tired and you're like, I can't do it. Or suddenly something comes up with the kids and you've got to go and do something for them. Or something else comes up and you never seem to get around to doing it. It's not because there's anything coming up. It's your subconscious mind that is self-sabotaging and stopping you from doing it, because it's in its, your brain is literally going danger, danger. And it sounds extreme, but your brain's going danger, danger. I'm going to die if I do this.
Yeah.
So I need to protect myself. And so we're going to feel tired now. All right, now you're going to need to nap. Or, oh, look, I need to go and do something else. And you procrastinate. And procrastination is not because you're lazy, it's because you're scared. So many people, so many adults procrastinate. It's not laziness, it's fear. You are scared of something in some way. And so what I do is I get into the subconscious mind to start changing the beliefs and to start working on, so timeline therapy is really powerful. So if there's a trauma or a traumatic event in childhood or teenage years, whether it's big T trauma or little T trauma, some people don't like the word trauma if it's like an event that's happened that's left something in the body, because trauma is stored in the body. Then timeline therapy helps you to rewrite your timeline using the subconscious mind. And so you go back to the event, you release the pain and the emotion from the event, you create a new timeline, but without the emotion attached to it. But it's all done in your subconscious mind. You're not consciously thinking about it.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of powerful, because once you've done it, you don't realise you've done it. But yet your subconscious mind starts acting differently. And so that's one way that you can kind of work with it.
How do you get into the subconscious?
It's really easy.
Oh, really?
No, it's really easy. So meditation is one of the easiest ways to get into the subconscious mind. It's going from alpha brainwave state is... not alpha, sorry, beta is like when you're working and you're energetic and you're really focused. So you have to come down through alpha to theta brainwave state. And in theta brainwave state, this is a meditative state, you're starting to get into the subconscious mind. So just before you go to bed, first thing in the morning, and then if you practice meditation, you'll be in theta brainwave state. And that is when your subconscious mind is most active, which is why before you go to bed and first thing in the morning, it is worth visualising what you want your life to be like, but feeling it.
Yeah.
Because feeling is the language of the subconscious mind. And so you can think all the happy thoughts and think like, I'm going to do this, and never do it because you don't feel that you can do it, because you can't think how you don't feel.
Yeah.
And so the feeling is really important. So when you visualise and you see your future, and not everyone can do this, or not everyone allows themselves to do it, it's just close your eyes and just feel it. Allow yourself to feel it in the body. And when you get used to meditation, which I know a lot of people don't know it because their minds are swimming, and meditation's hard when you first start doing it because you're like, what am I going to have for dinner? Where are the kids? Like, what's going on? It's a practice. It's like a muscle that you have to use, and it's practicing just quieting the mind, just focusing on your breath. And then when you get used to meditation, you'll stop focusing on your breath and you just know it's there. And then you can get into deeper meditations and you kind of take yourself out of your body and you get into like the 5D, the quantum reality. And that's when you start to visualize and you feel it so much and you just know it's going to happen. And that's how some people quantum leap in like their businesses and quantum leap in their lives and stuff, because they've harnessed the feeling that it's going to happen. They come back to 3D reality, which is like what we're in now. And then just take the action as if it's already happened. But what stops most people is limiting beliefs and like the cycles and the patterns that you then find yourself back in.
Yeah.
So if anyone tries to sell you a magic pill, it doesn't work. And it's like a constant like showing up for yourself. It's a constant listening to hypnosis meditation every morning or doing some tapping or visualizing every single day. And it's constantly... when you start doing it and taking the action, you'll get to where you want to be.
Yeah.
I go off on a tangent. I can talk a lot.
That's very good for podcast. So you've started a podcast.
Yes, yeah, so I've started a podcast. I called it Manifest with Maria. Inventive. And I've got 3 episodes out. I started it last year, but I wasn't consistent with it. And then this year I've got 3 out and I'll do 2 a week. So okay. One on a Monday, one on a Thursday or a Friday. I'm getting the next one out. It'll be Monday.
Yeah.
And so they're just short, they're sweet. There's none of the jingle. It's literally just raw and real. 20 minutes. This is the topic. While you're driving to work or while people are driving to the shops. Bosh, done, move on.
Yeah.
So I've kept it short and sweet to just try and give a lot of value in a short amount of time.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm excited about it. And I'm now just trying to get that visible. And actually, I'm running a competition for my podcast that if anyone listens to it, rates it, it's only on Spotify at the minute, gives it a 5-star rating, of course, and shares it on their Instagram or their Facebook, if you use Facebook, and then tags me in it,
yeah,
they get entered in to win a month's free coaching.
Oh, wow.
Which includes an unconscious mind therapy session, and the value is $9.50. So
yeah,
it's an exciting, I think it's exciting thing. So... if anyone's listening to this, yeah, if you want to, like, the links are below.
Yeah. I'll share all links to you and everything, and I'll definitely share that because that's an amazing prize.
Yeah, I think so.
So why do you choose to work in the area that you're working in with women in business?
From starting my business, you know, I said earlier, I made all the mistakes. Yeah. Imposter syndrome, comparinitis. I made up the word, but it's comparing yourself to other people. It sounds like a disease.
Yeah.
But I can understand how young girls and young boys, when they're younger on social media, compare themselves.
Yeah.
Because when I first went online, from not being online, I was comparing myself to everyone. I was like, but they've done this and they've done that. And
yeah.
I celebrate me, but oh, they've done better and they've made more money. And what if...
But that's all it is, isn't it? Is you're literally just looking... at what everyone else has got.
Yeah.
Or thinking, well, I've got more than that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's terrible, isn't it, really?
And it becomes, the more you compare, you are literally, like, taking the joy out. And I just remember when I first started, it was hard because I was just like, oh, they're doing better than me, and how do I do this, and how do I do this? And I always thought I needed another answer.
Yeah.
And I always tried to do it someone else's way. But really, I just needed to listen to my intuition.
Yeah.
Because I knew it. It's like your business. You know what to do.
Yeah.
And people listening right now, even in the relationship, if it's not going how you want it to go, you know what to do. You know if it's worth fighting for, and you also know if it's not. And you know when you're dating people, you know if it's a good date, and you know if it's not. You just know.
Why don't we listen to us? Because that is... my friend had an experience recently with... she was in a situation with a man, and she didn't listen to the red flags when they came up. But she, and it didn't end well, she was just saying, like, always listen to yourself. And I just said, why don't we? Because I definitely know all the red flags I've ever noticed have always, always shown up. And ended the relationship. And I'm like, why didn't I noticed them, but I ignored them. Why?
That's such a hard question to answer. I think it's because sometimes you just, your patterns get in the way and you repeat the same patterns that maybe you're used to. That's why some people end up, they leave one relationship, get in another, different man,
yeah.
same man.
Yeah.
And they go from same. And it's because that's what they're used to from their environment as they're growing up. And that's all they've ever known. So they feel safe.
Yeah.
Even though it's uncomfortable, they feel safe in that situation. And that's why you end up repeating the same things. But that's not the case for everyone. Sometimes I think it's just, you just want, especially in relationships, you crave love, right? Or yeah. you crave just, you want the attention of somebody. You want to find that happy relationship. And yet you know, you just know when it's wrong. Like, this is what led to, every time I haven't listened to my intuition, I spiral in my thoughts.
Yeah.
I've seen it in my coaching business at the start. I've seen it in a relationship, which is what led me to go into, like, the mental health and the manifestation mindset. So I was 27 when that relationship broke down, and I knew from the start it was not going to work, but I kidded myself it was. Like, the yeah. red flags were everywhere. 3 years later, it didn't work. My mental health has spiraled. I feel like if I'd gone to the doctors to get help, they would have probably said I was depressed.
Yep.
But I didn't want to admit that there was anything wrong, so I didn't tell anyone. And I might have spoken to a couple of friends. But I felt a lot of shame around it. I felt a lot yeah. of shame that I was living like a life that some people would dream of, and yet I felt I was hating life.
Yeah.
And so I thought, I can't admit this to anyone that I'm struggling. And I think there's a lot that's been done with mental health in the UK, but I think there's a long way to go.
Yeah.
And I still think there is a stigma about talking about mental health and being open about it. And I definitely struggled. And then I think this impacted, like, when I came out of my business, people want to know why are you setting up a business? And I'm like, well, I've experienced it, I've struggled with it.
Yeah.
I know how it feels, and I want to help. And what got me out of that spiral was learning to consciously manifest.
Yeah.
And so now that's what I do with my clients, but in a different way, because I don't really do relationships. However, the relationship not working will impact your business. Yeah. You not loving yourself is going to impact your business. So it kind of all spirals into one anyway. But yeah, I think mental health is, there is so many stressed people. I think the figures that I was looking at, I can't remember them fully, but 79% of people that are stressed is in the workforce and in the workplace because yeah. they're not happy with their careers. And that links to purpose. And are you really living your purpose? Are you really enjoying it? Do you have the passion in your life that you want? And oh, so cute, the cat. I feel that, I've gone off on a tangent. I forgot where I've got to.
Being stressed in work, not happy.
I feel like stress is one of the biggest causes of disease and is leading, yeah. and it's going to be the biggest, if not already, I think it might already be, like, the biggest killer.
Yeah.
Because stress really impacts your internal. And so that is why doing the mindset, doing the manifestation, doing the inner healing is essential.
Yeah.
For everyone. But I don't think, either some people don't want to admit that they need it, other people don't want to go there and face whatever they yeah. need to face. And maybe sometimes people just feel they're so busy that they haven't got the time, but that is the biggest excuse ever. Time is an excuse. I think so. I think you can be busy, but if you really desire and you really want something, you will make the time
yeah. for
it. You just will. Your why has got to be bigger than the time, yeah. ultimately. So from struggling with my mental health in, like, the relationship, we're talking about relationships, in the relationship and not listening to my intuition, and then repeating different patterns where I haven't listened to my intuition, I will yeah. now always listen to it. If it says don't do something, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm just not doing it. Like, and you can listen to your intuition and still feel fear.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you don't do something because of the fear, that's nothing to do with intuition. That's just letting the fear control you.
Yeah.
But your intuition knows, like, relationships are such an easy one to talk about because you know the red flags. You literally can see them, and yet you're like, oh, no, don't worry, I'll ignore that.
Yeah.
Oh, don't worry, I'll ignore that. Like,
You'll be all right.
I was so naive in, like, the the relationship that's extremely unhealthy, because they would lie. There would be like packets in their room because they was doing drugs. And I've always been very anti-drugs. And that was just my upbringing. That's what I've always been told. And I was finding these packets everywhere. And I was like, oh, they're my brothers. Oh, they're so-and-so's. Oh, no, you're crazy. And you start to believe it. You're like, am I crazy?
Yeah.
Of course I'm not crazy. They were theirs.
Yeah.
But they won't admit it. And then,
like,
it's just one example. But things start to spiral. And then you start to think you're actually crazy.
Yeah.
And you're like, hold on, I was right all along.
Yeah.
And I should have listened to what I wanted. And I think when you start dating, I'm married now, but when I met my husband, we actually met during COVID, and we met online in a yoga class, and we just went for a walk and we go for a walk, and it was natural. There was no pressure. It just worked. You know the red flags. You can feel the red flags. You just got to choose to listen to them. But I guess once you've had like relationships that don't work, it leaves with baggage.
Yeah.
And then you can take the baggage into the next relationship, and then you can bring your fears in. Say you've been cheated on, you bring your fears into the next relationship and you think they're going to cheat on you. They're never going to cheat on you. You just haven't healed that part from the last relationship, and then that's your responsibility to heal so that you don't pass the baggage on, but also to have that understanding with that person to say, hey, like, this has been a past experience, I'm working on this. And it's that open dialogue, isn't it?
Yeah.
In a relationship. But yeah, what do you think?
Oh, I don't know. It rings true with me because I know that I ignored the red flags and ultimately ended my relationship was the things that I knew from the beginning. You know, it was the lying, and the lying was all to do with the other behaviour, and he was a drug addict. And well, no, he's a, I always try and think, well, you make excuses, don't you? Or we see a drug addict, but no, you had a drug problem and didn't address it when we initially split up, which is what I wanted him to do. So that was the end of it. But the lies that I was made aware of in the very early days of our relationship, and there were some phenomenal lies about things that didn't need to be lied about, just scenarios that were created to make him appear to be more successful than he was, because he was insecure. And he was younger than me, so I just was like, he's young, he's insecure, this is why he's created all this fantasies and told me about them, but he'll grow out of it. I didn't think, fucking hell, I can't believe the fucking shit that he's told me. That's weird. I need to get out of here.
He never changed, did he?
No, he never changed. And to this day, I've got, like, he doesn't financially support the kids anymore. I have 4 years worth of text messages telling me he's going to pay me when this invoice gets paid. For 4 years, I had the same. And it's like, surely you must... Do you not get bored of saying the same thing? I had my hysterectomy in June, and Juno does swimming every week. And so her swimming, you pay by term, but it was like halfway through the term, I wasn't going to be able to take her anymore. So I was like, before I book for the term, can you do half the lessons? Because I can't, I'm not going to be able to drive, do you know what I mean?
Mm.
So in the end, I wasn't well. So there were 6 lessons that he agreed to do, but I asked him to do another 3. Out of 9 lessons, he took her to 1 because his car wasn't working. So every, like, it was on a Wednesday, I'd get a message, oh, my car's not working. I'm like, okay, how has your car broken down every week? Like, how has that happened?
It's not.
But I'm like, do you not, when you're sending these messages, is there not a part of you that's like, how can I keep saying the same thing, which clearly isn't true, and not think that I'm not going to be like... But I suppose it's... He will not admit... It's like he will never, ever admit it. He will never admit that he was lying. And I suppose if you hold on to that... And there is also still that part of me that thinks, well, is he lying though? Because I thought I was going mad, like, with the lies that he used to tell me, when I knew what he was doing, I knew that he was getting up to no good, because I could see the face twitches, or I know, but he was still, because he was saying no, there was still that part of me thinking, well, am I going mad? Do I want him to be doing it? Am I trying to create this? You know?
I can read that.
Fucking hell. But then also, I do think, well, at least I know now that I do question myself. Like, some people are so set in their views, aren't they? Like, when you think you're 100% right about something, when someone says to me, but what about this? I do always think, oh, okay, well, what about that? You know, because I like to think.
Yeah.
You don't want to think you're, you know, I don't, obviously, no one knows everything, but, you know. But then also there is that point of, why did I not trust myself? You know?
That's interesting, because when you start looking at the question, why didn't I trust myself, you're going to go down a can of worms, and there's going to be loads of stuff that comes out.
Yeah.
And that's when you're like, okay, let me get curious without judgment, because I feel like, especially as women, we beat ourselves up too much. We put so much pressure on ourselves, and I do think women do it more than men. And when you're beating yourself up and you're putting pressure on yourself, oh, I did this wrong, and oh, I shouldn't have done this, you can't change the past. It is what it is. It's happened. Yeah. You can only move forward and learn from it and start tapping into your intuition. And it's a muscle, so you're going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
And then you can listen again. That's why I love meditation. And I know that you're into meditation as well, because I think you get like nudges, your body speaks to you.
Yeah.
And when you're in meditation, things speak to you and you just hear things and you just know.
Yeah.
Whether you act on it is a different thing, and that's where you've got to get curious.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But everyone's made mistakes, right?
Yeah, and they do, they make you who you are, don't they?
100%.
And I was meant to have, my children are meant to be here, but that's why that happened. That relationship happened because of my children. You know, and that's, I wouldn't change that for the world. And I couldn't have done it without him. Do you know what I mean? So that's the cross that I bear for that, but that's fine. And when we first split up, the guilt that I felt for the fact that he was their dad was immense. But obviously he had to be their dad, because they wouldn't, they couldn't have been somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, but I felt so guilty that they were going to have to grow up having him as a father. But that's stupid. But I just felt, and shame as well, because there was things that I found out that I wasn't aware about at the time that had happened to other people. There's just Lola coming back, that they'd not told me about because they didn't want to tell me, because it was, you know, they didn't want to upset me.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm like, all this shit's been going on that I never knew about. So how, but you do you work, will you work with anyone, or do you only just do women?
No, I work with anyone, but for marketing purposes, you have to niche down and speak to like one ideal problem.
Okay.
The work I do, you can work with anyone, but if you talk to everyone, you talk to no one. And that is actually a genuine thing, and it's why, like, when I first started, I was like, where are my clients? Like, because I was trying to save everyone. And then when I started niching down, I was like, oh, clients. And it made it so much easier to get people.
It's so interesting, isn't it?
Businesses, I've learned so much. And I think you always learn, but I think marketing is the key piece.
Yeah.
I bought into all the, like, marketing. If I just listened to myself from the start, I'd be in a different place now. But I think it's made me a better coach, experiencing all the things that now I work with people that are going through all the things, and I know exactly how it feels.
And because you're coaching people to believe in themselves. Like, I worked with a coach, maybe it was a couple of years ago. She changed my life. Like, I love her to bits. She's amazing. But she didn't tell me, I suppose, anything that I didn't know, but I needed to hear it from someone else to believe it. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's so weird, but she's amazing. I really rate coaching and the work that you do. Like, has changed. It does change lives. It changed 100, like, it was priceless. Whatever I got from her was priceless. And that whole, she'd said to me, money was energy, and that was the first time I'd ever heard it. And she said that, and that changed something in me. It was so weird. And now I'm like, money, I don't stress about money at all.
There's no point, because it won't come to you. It will literally, like, money mindset's interesting. When I used my money mindset, it used to be so bad. I was like, save every single penny. And it comes from, like, family and, like, the way they are. And now I'm just like, it will flow. Like, yeah. it will come to me. And if I just do this and I know that it's coming, it will come.
Yeah.
And then when you talk about it, this to some people, they are just like, you're crazy. I don't believe in this. And I'm like, but then maybe that's why you're not seeing the results you want.
But it does.
Maybe try it a different way.
It does. It just, it comes and goes. And I just don't stress about it. I mean, I do things. I had another job and that's not really been happening as much. And I really noticed that. And then I was getting a bit like, I can't just do stuff. I have to think about it. And I don't like that. I just want to be able to do stuff. Not extravagant things. Just, you know, going to the shop after school and that, you know, it was a bit like, I'll do so much bloody money in the corner shops. And I'm like, that's my corner shop money, you know. But I have to catch myself sometimes because I'm like, no, I have got money. It's fine. I don't want to feel like I haven't got money because then...
And also there's periods of life where as you're building the business and you're growing the business, you've got the money coming in that you need for this. And the money will come in the business as you grow, as you get more visible, as you put yourself out there.
Yeah.
The money will come from it. It's visibility. I feel like the key thing for a lot of people online is just get visible.
Yeah.
And it will come. If you've got a good product and service and you get visible and people know about you, it will come.
Yeah.
And you can do it for free on social media.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just kind of having the strategy element of it, which is important. But also, I think more important is, do you feel safe to be seen? Or do you feel safe to show up online?
Yeah.
And that all comes from, if not, why? And you may not even be aware of it. Yeah. And that's the unconscious piece. And that's where, like, I will come in and, like, work with people.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
No worries.
And I'll post links, obviously, to you and everything. But what's your handle on?
Yeah, so my Instagram handle is Maria Therese, Therese _ manifestation. But yeah, so I mainly work with female entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
I'm supporting them to show up and use their story to sell their products and to attract their clients in and build trust with their audience because trust is so, so important.
Yeah.
But also, although, like, I market for women, I work with men as well. So, like, it's the unconscious piece. It's whether you want to go deep into yourself and learn who you really are. And by doing that, you'll make more money. You'll have more fun doing it. And that's kind of where I come in. That's what I do at the minute. So, yeah.
Oh, thank you very much.
No worries.
Hi. Yeah, so that was the lovely Maria. If you would like to talk to her about anything we discussed, then get in touch with her. She's really lovely, as you will have heard. And I just think positive thinking has definitely got me through the last 9 years of being a single parent. And self-belief has definitely helped the quality of my life because I've not always had it. So, yeah, I think if you get anything from this episode, whatever you might think of manifesting and the things we spoke about, the bottom line is just believing in yourself and believing that you can do it. And that is never going to be a bad thing. So, yeah, but I hope you enjoyed it. If you have anyone that you think would be good to be on my podcast, or if you indeed want to be on my podcast, then get in touch. I'd love to hear from you. But I hope you have a lovely week. Stay safe and sane.
Work.
And I'll see you soon. Big love to you.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. it.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.